Third question. Based on these factors, how should we act or what should we do? Based on these factors, how should we act? What should we do? Yes.
Is this, are these questions more so dialogue between the employee and the leader because about a particular project or something like that? Because now to me it seems like it's going back over to the objectives and stuff like that.
Well, you know, in clarity is I don't want it to sound like if we have our discussion at the beginning, like Byron and I had three different meetings. We spent so many hours. Now everything is just totally clear about the whole journey. As we walk the journey, there may be some external factors that come to bear that we still need to be talking about so we'll stay clear. And then we need to be able to look on the inside of us and see what our internal capabilities are. Can we handle what's happening externally? We know where we want to go. Can we handle it? And then based on these factors, what do we do? See, when we get over into agility, being flexible, this is a part of that. Because you can set a course, for example, you can set a course of, I was going to teach on walking on serpents and scorpions. I already saw it. I had it clear. Storm came in. There were some external factors now that really I got to pay attention to. I can't continue to teach on walking on serpents and scorpions, and we got folk not sure where they're going to live. So those are some external factors that are impacting us in the journey. So as a leader, I have to always be looking at these external factors that can impact the journey. Does that make sense? And always assessing my internal capabilities, because my internal capabilities will determine what I can do and what I should do. And what you can't do. And some things you just can't do it. If you just can't do it. I don't know if I told Byron this, but I thought I told him one time, I don't want him to walk around with all that kind of pressure. See, if you can't do it, you can't do it. But that's a part of a leader evaluating the internal capabilities. If you do that and you talk and communicate, we won't feel so pressured because nobody's asking you to make brick without straw. My bottom line on it, if I ask you to do something and I don't give you what it takes to get the job done, you have a right to come back to me and say, I didn't have the resources I need to get the job done. Now the weight is not on you, the weight is on me, because then I'm going to come back and say, what can you give me though? See, you can't give me nothing. you can't give me nothing. You can't say I can't give you nothing. I'm just off for the rest of the year. No, you got to give me something. You may not give me what we had thought we were going to get, but you got to give me something.
The shared collaboration, the shared responsibility and collaboration.
Right. Right. And so there has to be some communication, not just at the beginning, but there has to be communication through the journey. Yes.
That means leaders have to listen too. Because if the people who are hands-on are saying some things and the leaders, and you're having this conversation, it has to be effective.
Yes. leaders how to have to be absolute. That's what this leadership class is. And you just told the leaders, y'all got to listen. But then I would tell the followers, you got to know how to talk too. Because if you just frustrated, there's a good chance I ain't going to listen to your frustration. There's a right way to approach things too. You can just get bent out of shape and talk crazy and not get anything done. So it's both sides of it. Yes, sir.
I'm trying to understand something in the clarity. Even when you did it with Pastor Byron, you gave a vision of what you wanted to happen.
We had a collaborated vision, a shared vision. It wasn't just, this is what I want. He talked about it too. He brought some to the table too. In fact, I massaged what he brought. I had him bring it first. And then I massaged what he brought. Because if I just had this all planned, I'm going to be honest with you. When I met with them, I ain't planned nothing. I hate to tell y'all this. I ain't had nothing. I just came to the meeting. Because I want to first hear what you got. And then I can always add to what you brought. Now you have a lot of ownership in what we're trying to do. There may be some direction I need to give being the leader and seeing stuff you may not see. So I'm going to always give direction. I'm going to always handle my part of it. But you're going to have so much ownership in it that you're going to have an inbuilt motivation because it's not just my vision. It's not just my goal. It's our vision. It's our goal. And then here. Yes. Yeah.
And you're wanting to give them clarity and have them to understand what their tasks are and what their responsibilities are. As a leader, you would have to let them set the pace because they're volunteers. There's some things that they can do, but there's a catch-22 because they are volunteers.
It's a little fuzzy. And so the difference between Bell South and Faith Chapel is Bell South dealing primarily with employees. We're dealing with employees and a lot of vision partners. So the point that you're making is that you have to consider your labor force and the nature of your labor force, but at the same time, volunteers should have standards and expectations. And we make a mistake when we don't establish expectations for volunteers because they're volunteers. But they should be realistic expectations. They shouldn't be the same kind of expectation that you would expect from a full-time employee. But you do expect, you have expectations. Like, just because you're a volunteer don't mean you just show up whenever you want to show up, come late when you ever want to come. No, but it shouldn't be where a volunteer walking around like, I'm doing a full-time job. To me, that's the leader's responsibility to make sure that person doesn't have that kind of burden on them. So that leader, that volunteer should be able to say, this is what I can offer, this is what I can do, this is not what I can't do, but the leader got to create that environment. See, collaboration, everything we're talking about is collaboration, but the leader got to set up a collaborative environment. If a leader walk in there, even a volunteer, and say, okay, this is what I want. This is what I want you to do. This is your task and all this. And that person doesn't bring anything to the table. They're no different than an employee feeling like, I don't have any ownership in this. I don't have any things. So there's an environment that's consistent with full-time employees. I mean, the principle is the same. The demand is different, but the principle is the same. You're doing the same thing in principle, but the expectation is not as high for a volunteer. Yes.
What I was going to say goes right along with that because I had to set up a team of volunteers to get certain projects done. And I gave them, okay, by March 1st, we need to have this done. By this time, we need to have that done. But life happens. And so some of them said, okay, I can give you this many hours a week. But they had to change their schedule.
Good. And it's probably working out great is because you're listening and you're flexible. And you and if you appreciate people, they'll want to give you stuff. I mean, if people want to volunteer. Sometimes people don't because of the way we lead. But I believe people want to. Okay? Okay. Now, I think so the question down at the bottom on the clarity is, do I know where we're going and why? Is it 11:30?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Are you planning on doing something after this one?
We need to, yes.
We need to do something after we finish?
Yeah. If we can, we don't have to.
Okay.
We don't have to.
Okay. I think what we may end up doing is we may end up doing the exercise the next time. We may end up doing the exercise the next time. I think what we'll do is work through it, and then we'll come back and review, and then we can do some exercise. I don't think we're going to be able to do the exercise today. We got 30 minutes, 25 minutes, and I want to just try to hit this. Okay. Any questions about clarity? It's some great, whenever you come in a session like this, it's not always necessary for you to understand everything. But if I ask you a question out of everything that was said today, what stood out to you? And then what practically can you take away from this? So rather than you telling me, how many of you will say something, one thing stood out to me and practically I can use this as a leader? Anybody? Most of you? Okay, good, good. Now, unity, there's something here, buddy. It's agreement and harmony. Just before we get into the lesson, how does a lack of unity impact speed of execution? Yes. Loss of?
It can cause confusion.
Gotcha. Okay, if you're not in agreement, you're not going to give it your best effort? Yes.
Some wasted time, be added time.
Why? Is that different than clarity, though? When you say on the same page, I think clarity. But you're talking about something else.
I thought you asked how does unity... Yes,
yes, yes. Yes, that's what I said. Why? Okay, I saw you, sweetie.
We is better than me.
Gotcha. Yes.
Think about the game Tug of War.
Tug of War? Gotcha, yes.
Three-leg race, same thing. If you've got two people with one leg in the same sack or a sack race, you know, and they're trying to go where their legs are tied together, if they don't move those legs together and, you know, as a unit, then they're not going
to
get it.
Now, I want you to hear what you're saying now. And we're going to take this out of religion now and having the right answers and take this into the arena of the workplace. Because everything you're saying is absolutely correct. Yes, Erica.
Along with that, basically, you can't have two agendas trying to get to the same goal.
Gotcha. Yes.
I think when you're not in agreement, it's like the highest form of deception.
The highest form of deception.
Yeah, because you think you're going somewhere, you're doing the right thing, maybe because you're getting some work done, but really, it's a circle. You're not progressing along.
Kevin? Did you hear what he just said about you? Did you hear what he just said about you? What do you want to say about that? What do you want? You want to say anything about that? Wait. What do you have any? Hey, do you have anything to say about that? No, I ain't talking to us, Kevin. Do you have anything to say about that? Hey, so, I like that. Great response. He just heard a great idea. He didn't know how to piggyback on it. So that's his way to piggyback on it. See how she took y'all? She didn't get offended. She just took it as a compliment. Gotcha. I gotcha. I heard that. Yes, sir. Waste of time, energy, and resources. Yes, sir.
I think of fragrance. You know, when you do something in unity, you know, no matter we disagree or whatever in the beginning process, but the ending fragrance is what matters. You don't just want to get the job done and get it done well, because if you have the job done well, but the fragrance is bad, then that's going to affect the next project, or it's going to have an ongoing effect. So the lasting fragrance that we have with a particular project is important.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the Bible when we talk about the Tower of Babel, when the people were in agreement, they were speaking the same language. There's nothing that they couldn't do. And when we're in agreement as a church, there's nothing we can't do, and we have to recognize that Satan wants to divide. When he divides, he conquers. And so we have to just keep that in our mind, that when we're in agreement, we can get it done faster, and we can accomplish our goal.
Gotcha.
Now, this is in the study time note right here, so this is when I studied. When I wasn't here.
Hey, this study time stuff here.
He wants some credit for it.
And this point said, people who don't necessarily think the same make for a better group. So just because I don't think like you think, we still can be in harmony. Oh, yeah, that was.
Hey. He said, oh, yeah. Hey, oh, yeah, that's good. Hey. He said, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He said, people who don't think the same can still be in harmony. In other words, we don't have to think the same to be, to be in harmony. And then he said, oh, yeah, that's good. yeah, he just felt it. Yeah, that's good. That's good. You're right. That was good. I'm gonna, if I don't even get to agility, we're going to really massage this a little bit. Here's what I discovered in terms of unity. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 that we're to endeavor to keep the unity in the bond of peace. So as believers, we have something in common. We all have the nature of Christ. We all have the Holy Spirit. We all have the same Father. We have the peace of God in us. So we have unity, but the scripture says that we have to endeavor to keep it. Endeavor there means to labor. It means to work. Yeah, keeping unity is work. Most of the time, what I've seen in a lack of harmony is not bad people. And a lot of times, it's not necessarily people who are against somebody. I don't think we listen. I don't think we listen very well. And I think we can sometimes see our vantage point, but we don't listen to each other because, I've been sitting in a meeting, I'm thinking, yeah, that's good. Yeah, that's good. That's good. And it's not like anybody, we don't have a lot of evil stuff in our church. I mean, some stuff evil. Some stuff is wicked. I hadn't found a lot of that in 30 years of dealing with people. I just hadn't found a lot of wickedness. Now, some people may see wickedness, but I don't see a lot of wickedness. I see mostly self-centeredness. People who are centered on their agenda, centered on their opinions, centered on their thoughts, and don't look outside of themselves. I don't see a whole lot of I want you to do bad. I don't see a lot of that. You know what I mean? I just see a lot of misunderstanding. I see a lot of misunderstanding. And so I'm believing God that we can grow by having settings like this where we can be honest and be real and be open and not just religious, not just say the right things. Yes. Go on, take a step of faith.
When I was studying too on this one really got me because this one is very subtle. You could say you're in agreement,
right?
But you're really not in agreement. And I think for us as an organization, this is slowing down our pace. I say that because you can hear it just in conversation. When people are translating or relaying information, they'll say, well, they said this or they said that. If you're honest and you evaluate, you're not in agreement. You know that you have to politically say the right thing, but you're really not in agreement. So this one is real subtle, and I think you have to really pay attention to that.
I think it has slowed us down. I think, and what I'm trying to do, and it's a little bit difficult, get us to a place where we can be frank and open and honest without feeling like we're going to be penalized. Because until people can honestly say what they feel, you're not going to get to reality. And it's so difficult sometimes to get there because everybody's kind of concerned about what everybody else is going to think. One reason I like Pete, Pete is very honest and very open. And so she's going to be frank with me, frank with everybody. And even if she's wrong, you know where she stands. I mean, you ain't tripping about where she stand. I much rather deal with a person that's going to be open and honest with me than to deal with a person that's shaking their head like some of y'all doing right now. But, and when I said I was joking when I said that, but not really saying what you feel. And that causes it to be real muddy. It gets real muddy when people can nod, but deep down inside, they ain't flowing. I'd rather have a person come straight at me. I call it not circling the airport, just land. Don't circle, just land. I can deal with that better because at least I know you disagree. See, I know you got a challenge with it, but the person who won't say nothing in this setting but to talk to somebody else. And here's a point that you have to always remember, you never talk down. If you're frustrated, you never talk to your subordinates about it. They should never see you frustrated. They should never hear your frustration. I don't think you should talk sideways if the folks sideways can't help you. Because some of that turns this just into gossip. I think you should speak up. I think you should speak up. But let's look at this. In this, yes. The way to do it is to realize you can't say what you feel anyway, any kind of way. See, you can, I was talking about Pete's candor, But there has to be a balance to candor. See, even if I'm going to be open and frank with you, it should be respectful. My openness doesn't give me a right to be disrespectful.
Right.
So what if you feel you are, but the person doesn't take it as someone else? Their perception of...
It may not be just their perception. It may be the way you are. And see, the way I would approach it, I wouldn't approach it as just their perception. Because you can you see that shine on your head right now? You can't? I can. It's shining right up here. I'm serious. You can't turn around. Can you feel a shine on her head? Do you see that? Okay, so the point I'm making is it's hard to see yourselves. And it's hard to see how you coming across because I can't see myself right now. I feel like I know what I look like, but I can't see myself. And so I think we need to listen to people because it may not be just that they insecure. It may not be that they just can't handle your frankness. It may be that you need to temper it a little bit the way you're doing it. Yes.
Everything you say, and you have to surround yourself with friends that will be real with you. I remember one time I have been told that I'm frank, and I know sometimes I don't say it like I should. But one time, a lady named Regina McAdams told me something about myself that I didn't see, and so I went to the Lord and I said, "Am I like what?" She said, "Miss Pete, ain't nobody gonna tell you about that because you pastor." And so I went to the Lord and I said, am I like that? And he showed me through the word, I was like that. And so what I did, I began to improve on what the Lord told me what I was. I ain't gonna tell y'all what it was. But what he said I was. And so I have grown on that point. But you can't surround yourself with, yes, people, if Ronnie looking tacky, if I'm his friend, I ain't gonna let y'all talk about Ronnie. I'm gonna say, Ronnie, that's tacky. But what I see, we surround ourselves with people that are yes people, that are not gonna be truthful. And if you gotta have people that, you know, I've got friends, they say stuff to me that it may be a little hurtful, but it's truthful because I know they got my best interest at heart. And so if you surround yourself with yes people, they really ain't no blessing to you. You need some people that'll tell you the truth. And so that's how you grow. You surround yourself with friends that will tell you the truth and not just be yes people.
I'm gonna say this and then I'm gonna go through this. I found a lot of this dishonesty in silence. I mentioned the fact that I can value openness and honesty and frankness because I think the bigger problem is not that. I think the bigger problem is people having something and won't say nothing. But they judge you out of it, but they don't say nothing. See, their actions, the way they react, the way they respond to you is communicating, but they won't say it. I think that's a lack of integrity. I think that's dishonesty. But we could see the person who may say it wrong as being wrong, but the other person who sits up and don't say nothing. But the way they're carrying themselves, they're acting it out, but they don't say anything. I think that's dishonest. I think it's just as wrong as a person who may say the thing the wrong way. So, yes.
I like all sides. I was just thinking, what about the person who does say it? And then, but every time they say it, they're beat down for saying it.
I think that there may be some truth to that, but I don't think that's the whole truth. I think sometimes we take a situation and we generalize it. See, you may have a person over you that beat you down, but that ain't everybody. That ain't every supervisor, that ain't every boss, that ain't every... I don't think that's the issue, Alana Yell. I think it's reality sometimes. Oh, there's a good chance it have happened.
What I'm saying is, though, it hadn't happened to me. I'm just put it out like that. It hadn't happened to me. But I do believe, though, there are times where people do say it, and they may have encountered one person that did them like that, and then they encounter another person that did them like that. Well, they kind of look iffy about stepping out again sometimes. So there's a lot of different scenarios with this situation. So I agree with Ms. Pete. You have to step out, and it's not everybody like you said, but there are certain people who do step out, who try to do what you say, and then they experience that. Well, some not gonna always just step right back out and do it, and so they make it silent or kind of watch you for a minute.
Well, you know, the bottom line on it, that's what this class is about. That's why we're going over this. I just believe people will do better if they know better. And then if some people don't do better, I don't think anybody here is bigger than God, including pastor. I just don't think anybody bigger than God. I think a lot of times I'm not talking just about what you coming up. I just think that sometimes we use things as an excuse and we generalize. You know, you were in one marriage and it was bad, so all men this way, all women this way, and all this kind of stuff. And what I've discovered, that's not the case most of the time. Most of the time, what people deal with, they talk to one person, and one person didn't do what they thought they should do, and it becomes y'all. Me included. And I'm included. They ain't said nothing to me. Ain't said one word to me. Ain't opened your mouth to me. But it's y'all, them, those people. Yes.
But you gotta work here. You need to be happy coming to work. And I'm saying, grow up. We just have to tough up and do the Bible. I'm confronting my manager again. And then if she's still ugly or he's still ugly, I'm elevated. Because I'm not gonna come to work every day and got this stuff in me. That's right. And I don't have anybody to do it.
And you have a right to elevate it. I mean, you have a right to go to somebody else. You always have that right. You have a right to go to HR. You have a right to elevate stuff. You always have a right to elevate that. I'm glad you brought out that point, because here's what I found out a lot of times. We ain't forgiving. We legitimize our bitterness. I mean, we legitimize it. We feel I have a right to be angry. I have a right to be bitter. I have a right to have stuff in my heart. And we don't have a right. And a lot of times we get hurt because we don't forgive. We don't forgive. It's easy for you to say, well, you hear this thing. You ain't nobody talking about it. They talk about me all the time. They ain't talking about you. Most of the time, folk outside ain't talking about you. They ain't calling your name out. It's Mike Moe got them folk down there showing. They ain't talking about you. They talking about me. He down there taking them folk money. He got them folk standing in line. Got that machine down there, and they putting their money in that machine and putting their paycheck in that machine. They ain't talking about you for the most part. They talking about me calling my name And that stuff, it just does not get in me. I just don't let it get in me because God told me to forgive him. It doesn't stop him from doing it, but God told me to forgive him. And so I practice forgiveness. And so that won't change poor leadership. Don't get me wrong. My goal is to change poor leadership in here. That's what this, at the end of the year, we should be better leaders.
I know that's right.
Wouldn't you agree with that?
Yes.
At the end of the year, we should be better leaders. So I'm working on the leadership component because my forgiving don't make that person a better leader. So it's two sides to it. It's that leadership side, but it's just my response to that leadership side. And so that's my goal. But let's look at this. Let's look at this. Let's look at this. Let's look at this. Oh, it's 5 minutes till? Let's stop. Yeah, let's just stop. Because this is so good. This is so good that I want us to really look at this area. And I added some things to it, too. I got some questions here. It's good. Y'all get anything out of this one? Yes, questions? It was A, B, and C. Yes. You can answer now. Yeah.
When you said silence is a lack of integrity.
Yes.
Why?
Integrity is wholeness. Okay. It's consistency. My actions is consistent with what's in my heart. My heart is consistent with my actions. My words are consistent. When I'm acting one way, but my heart is saying something else, you see what I'm saying? I'm being dishonest with myself. See, I'm being dishonest with myself. That's not how I feel. That's not how I feel. Now, I may say, well, I'm just doing this to kind of get along with everybody, go and do my thing, get out of here, but it's still a lack of integrity. You're not being totally honest with yourself. See, if I'm carrying myself one way toward you, but in my heart I'm walking away feeling something totally different, then that's a lack of integrity. It's not whole. I'm not whole. See, wholeness is what I am inside is what I am outside. What I am in public is what I am in private. There's consistency. And I'm saying that a lot of times the disharmony is not in folk fussing. That's better. And some, if you're fussing and you're being respectful,
at least you're addressing it.
You're addressing it. You're addressing it. But if I'm judging you, but I don't confront you, but I'm judging you in my heart, that's a lack of integrity to me. To me, that's a lack of you're not being honest. You know, and sometimes we have our reasons why we say we're not doing it, you know. And so what we do, we legitimize ourselves. But for the most part, if my heart is not in agreement with you or whatever, the way I relate to you, is going to say it. You see what I'm saying? See, it would be I think in some cases you have to trust God to keep you. I'm like this. If being honest is going to beat me and cause me to lose, I just got to lose. Because I can't keep myself. And so I just feel like there's a lot of dishonesty in the silence. It's to me a lot of dishonesty in the silence. Yes. No, I'm glad you brought that up because that's not my point. I'm not asking you to be different than your personality is. I mean, some people are a little low-key than other people. I think you have to balance that and know when to speak up. And I'm trying to get you all to speak up and get outside your comfort zone, but I'm not really trying to change you as a person. I'm not necessarily saying that because you hadn't said anything, you're being dishonest. I'm saying if you need to say something and you don't, you're being dishonest. You see what I'm saying? If in your heart of hearts, you're struggling with me, I mean, you're just struggling with me. Well, you're making a judgment on me. I'm using me as an illustration. You're making a judgment on me. Why don't you give me an opportunity to deal with that? Why keep that from me, yet you're going to judge me out of it, but you ain't going to say nothing to me? To me, that's a lack of integrity. It's a lack of integrity on your part. You may be right in your judgment, but you didn't confront me. You didn't say anything to me, but yet you judge me. And you end up sentencing me. See, you sentence me. And I have no recourse. See, I have no way to defend. I have no way to rebut. I have no way to communicate. But you put a sentence on me. And so you've convicted me without giving me a voice. Yes. I agree. Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you. Well, you know, we didn't do any of the exercises. Hey, Joe, wives to do that, don't they, Joe? Wives to do that, don't they, Joe?
That's why they laugh. That's why they laughing.
Yeah.
Endeavor to keep the unity.
Huh? Well, I enjoyed it, y'all. We have to go back to the table and decide what we're going to do next time, right? Okay. Okay.